Okay, so next week Anna and Carol are going to be introducing you to some ways of Bible study, or at least Bible reading, that they've found helpful. You may decide you like that, you don't like those. We'd really like to know the methods that are working for you. What we do know is that their methods of doing Bible reading are better than the one that I don't have. That's where I always try to start from. But during the year, we're actually going to revisit how we get into Scripture and perhaps how we get into prayer, as we encourage one another to take responsibility for following Jesus more closely in more areas of our lives. At the end of the day, if we're going to help other people, we need to be finding a way forward for ourselves. So that's where we have got to. I suspect that when I'm speaking, we will be talking about the Holy Spirit, you want a posh word for it, which you probably don't, we'll be doing pneumatology, because that's what I'm preoccupied with at the moment. It sort of moved on really, and everything seems to connect with the Spirit for me at the moment. You remember that last term in the autumn, in October through November, we were looking at the life of David in the context of what it meant to be the head and not the tail in a world where we experience disappointments. And we started off this year by using that story about the guys who went into the promised land and found the most amazing bunches of grapes, but also giants. And one lot were preoccupied with the grapes, and the other lot were preoccupied with the giants. And that was really interesting, because it was a question of what God can do for us. It doesn't quite relate to optimism. It's very easy to confuse faith with optimism. It's very distinct, because pessimists can please God, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we started from there, and we talked about the fact that these guys fouled up on the Exodus, and then throughout history, God's people kept on fouling up just by not following what God's instructions were, and they ended up in exile. We talked about coming back from exile and the fact that by that point they'd moved on from thinking in terms of the angel and the presence and the cloud, to beginning to connect those things with the Spirit of God. And so by Haggai's time and Isaiah's time, they were thinking in that sort of way. We didn't deal with this Bible passage, but that sort of summarizes the way in which those things happened. The angel of his presence saved them. The angel was in the pillar, and then they begin to connect that with the fact that in the presence with the angel was the Holy Spirit. And this morning we're going to do a bit of thinking about signs and symbols. But before we do that, and before we look at the learning we engaged in last week, let's pray. Father, for myself, if ever I was conscious that the only things worth doing I can't do, it would be now. So we pray, come Holy Spirit, give life to the words, touch us, fill us, empower us in ways that we can't forget belong to you. Amen. Okay, last week we set a task which you dealt with really helpfully and asked for seven things from groups about the Holy Spirit, which isn't terribly easy. So let's have a look at some of these. Holy Spirit gives, builds, fruits of the Spirit, seals us on conversion. That's an interesting one, and that's one of the things that it says in the New Testament that people really discuss quite a lot, and quite an interesting thing to Google, sealing with the Spirit, because some people say, well, we can't understand. Some people say it happens on conversion. I remember David McInnes, the presenter or the precentor at Birmingham Cathedral, come into our University Christian Union and said, there is no doubt about it, sealing with the Spirit is when you are baptized with the Spirit. And as a young Pentecostal going away to university, having a Anglican with the accent that you would expect from a cathedral Anglican talking about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit was a real wow to me. It started to open me up to all sorts of other ways of thinking about things. So actually following that through and making a decision as to what you think about it. Holy Spirit is everywhere. That's an interesting thing. Where is the Holy Spirit not? You thought about it? How do you manage to work out whether at what level the Holy Spirit is present? Is he present or she present at a cellular level? Which is important if you start thinking about disease. Yeah? Moving on. Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. I believe that true. That's true. I'm not sure what I do with it. Okay. Not sure what I do with it. The Holy Spirit indwells in individuals and the church. I wonder which way round that should come. Does the Holy Spirit indwell the church? Or individuals? I know the answer is both, but what comes first? On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came to the room where they were and then sort of divided onto the individuals as well. He reminds and counsels us of the words of Jesus, gives gifts and power, prays for us. So you remember that we talked about it depends on the place you start from. They're all sort of different places for starting here. Here you've got Paul in the epistles. You've got Romans here. I think the Holy Spirit's everywhere, starting from Genesis. Yeah? Part of the Trinity. Well, that's really hard work. 1 John, Epistle of John. Indwelling individuals in the church, back with Acts 2, reminds and counsels of us, that's John, gives gifts and power, that's Acts, and, well no, power is Luke, Acts, gifts is Paul and Corinthians, Holy Spirit prays for us, that's Romans. Okay, all different things about the Spirit coming from different places, different emphases. Holy Spirit gives us words to say. That actually comes from Jesus. You know, when you're delivered up, the Holy Spirit will bring words to mind. Actually, it would be better there to say, wouldn't it, that he reminds us of words that we've had. Okay? The holiness of God, certainly the Spirit is a Holy Spirit. Interesting to work out what holy means in that context. God's breath. That's where we get that word, the word for breath, the word for spirit, the word for power, all the same. Interpretation of Scripture, gosh, that's a big one. How the Spirit helps us interpret Scripture. How much of that depends on our study, and how much depends on the Holy Spirit showing us what the Scriptures mean. Different situations and the issue of morals and conscience convicts us of sin, or convinces us of sin, gives us gifts. Right, won't go through the others in as much detail because you guys were pretty much on the same, in the same ballpark, same position. Here's one that's interesting, just noticing. The present from the beginning, okay, part of creation. Now, I know what you mean there, because what you're saying, he was involved in creation, he or she was involved in creation. Holy Spirit is not part of creation. Holy Spirit is not created, or is not God. Yeah? The Holy Spirit is Creator Spirit. Creator Spirit. Come, Creator Spirit. That's part of an important liturgical prayer, isn't it? So, now, here's a question for you to respond to. Talk to one another about this and see what the best answer is that you can come up with. Lots of answers, but see if you can work towards the best one. Why was the stone rolled away from the tomb on the morning of the resurrection? Is the question. By the way, I had never thought about that till this week when I was reading something. Why was the stone rolled away from the tomb? Okay, guys, you should have some good answers by now. We're going to take them, and let's not worry about what's best initially, but just get half a dozen or so and then work that out as we go along. So what the answers, why was the stone rolled away from the door on resurrection morning? Somebody?
Otherwise no one would have known that the body was gone.
Okay, nobody would have known.
Scare the soldiers into running away.
To scare the soldiers, yeah.
It was too heavy to lift.
Pardon? Actually, that's a really interesting answer, isn't it? You actually asked the question, why wasn't it shattered into 1,000 pieces? Wouldn't have that been more emphatic? Okay, I hadn't thought about that. Well, when Nigel speaks, who has thought about it? You thought. Right, what's next?
To let the angel in.
Hey, you're not, so we're doing the deciding what the best one was in a minute. Right. Carol is a very literal-minded person, Marion. You've got to take that. What else?
So the empty grave clothes could be seen.
So the empty grave clothes could be seen. That's another one that I hadn't thought of. What else? You want to be careful about that, Rachel. If you're getting like Nigel, that is not necessarily a good thing to do.
Which is, it makes the thing public.
Made the thing public. Now, that, I think, for me, that last answer, it made it public, sounds a bit general, but it's probably the best answer. Because if you think about the fact, what was your answer yesterday?
It was so they could see something had happened.
So they could see something had happened. Well, the point is that for those who are immediately involved, Mary met somebody who she thought was a gardener. Peter and John, if it was Peter and John, met two young men outside the tomb. The soldiers met the angels. But rolling the stone away, and I was going to put it in a silly way, and say the stone was rolled away so we could write songs about it. Yeah?
So weren't the women going to anoint the body? So in some way, the stone could be moved. But if they were going and there was nobody there, they probably wouldn't have been able to move it. So
they were just talking on the way, how weren't they saying how...
How are we going to get rid of the stone? They were focusing on the stone.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, isn't it? The stone had nothing to do with Jesus rising from the dead. Right? And yet it was a sign, has become a sign and a symbol. And thinking about this yesterday, while I was getting lunch, I think, I found myself thinking of a song which we used to sing. Doubt whether any others of you would have sung this, but it was a song that started, "The grave is now empty, the stone is rolled away, and Christ is alive in my heart. And death, which is conquered, in me has no part, for Christ is alive in my heart." And the image of the stone rolled away, didn't we use an image of the stone rolled away on Easter Sunday morning? Last year, I think I posted a photograph of that. It's a sign and a symbol of what happened. In fact, by the way, there is an interesting thing here, because I was able to find the lyrics of this song on a site called namethathymn.com. I am looking for that to be turned into a major national quiz, because I think Marion and I would be a killer team on that. The fact, if I could do Old Pentecostal and she could do Old Brethren, I think we could really crack it in terms of the songs. So here we are, signs and symbols. Now, this got started with me because some of you would have noticed that Roy was quite excited last Sunday because of something that had happened to him on holiday. He told this story on Monday in Renewed. So I think it's worth telling again. While he was on holiday, as you know, they're dealing with sickness with one of their sons at the moment, who's got cancer. And to add insult to injury, if you like, it's sort of in the same area, not the same cancer, but the same sort of area that Roy had. In a way, it's harder to deal with the suffering of your kids than it is for yourself. So they're working all that through. And while they were on holiday in the Gambia, Roy happened to notice a guy who was begging and had a disability, was unable to move. He decided to sit down with him and to pray for his healing. Now, I don't know whether you've ever done that. I think I've done that sort of thing just once or twice. It's quite a push. And he prayed for him, and nothing happened on that occasion. When he and I were talking, we were saying, well, 999 times more before, if you're going to have the ministry of John Wimber, you see anything happen. So that's one ticked off. But consequently, afterwards, he was feeling pretty down about this. And if you know Roy, you'll know what sort of person he is. You would not always introduce him as somebody who was totally in touch with his feelings. I think he would understand that. He was sitting down and sort of grumbling to God about this. You know, he was feeling pretty down about the fact that it hadn't worked and so on. And as he sat there, out of nowhere, a very large butterfly came down, landed on him. And when he told me the story, he said, and it moved right up to his neck and kissed him and then flew away. And as it did that, a sense of peace came over him, and he knew that God was with him. He had God's approval. Now, I thought that was a really interesting story, because immediately Roy went, as you would, to ask, was that the Spirit? What was happening there? And I was pretty attuned to that, because one of many interesting stories that I picked up over the past couple of years is the story of a woman who was bereaved. Her father had died. She'd been very closely attached to her father. She was in her mid-50s. Her dad had been a flyer in the Army Air Corps, and she felt a really considerable loss to an extreme. She'd visited a medium to try and get some comfort, and then one day, as she was walking in the woods very early in spring, a place where it couldn't happen, there was a cluster of butterflies. Which to her at that point said that it was her dad revisiting her to say that she was okay. Right? That was, and she felt that, because one of the things she had taken from his study after he'd died had been a glass butterfly that she'd kept. So it was a connection to her dad. It was a symbol, it was a sign to a symbol of her dad. But then she's on holiday in Mallorca some months later, still suffering from huge bereavement. She and her husband go to visit a monastery up on a mountain. He gets a call from work. He's a director of a building materials company, and he's dealing with this. And there she's standing, looking at one of those Christos Redemptor statues, you know, the concrete statues with Christ with his arms out. And she looks down, and at the bottom it says, "My arms are always open for you." And as she reads that, a butterfly lands on, butterflies land on, I think, on her and on the statue. I'd need to read the transcript to make sure of what it was. So here's a change. Initially, what she sees is a butterfly. She thinks that's a message from her dad. What happens the next time is that the butterfly is associated with the words of Jesus. Okay? Now, the consequence of this, and the reason that it's a potent story, is within 3 months of that, on her own, she has decided to go to church. She knows that there is a church which her neighbours used to go to. She thinks she can remember what it's called, and it's a church within the Pioneer Network, and she attends there. Her husband says, "You can't go on your own," and he goes with her. Within 4 or 5 months, they've both done an Alpha course. She is really annoyed, because when they get round to the Holy Spirit Day, it's her husband who meets God in a dramatic way, not her. She feels very apologetic about this, but there's been a huge, huge change. So, what's the significance of that all? I just wonder, you know, whether there's a lot of people out there who are getting prompts to the Spirit, but don't know how to interpret them. I wonder whether there are a lot of people out there who are being touched by God and know they're being touched by something, I'll show you this. There's a book out there, isn't there? Touched by an Angel's Wing or Touched by an Angel's Feathers or something like that. And we look at that and think, oh, that's weird. But perhaps it's positive because people are touched by something. Another person I remember talking to and told her story. She was from the same church at the time I met her. But she had for years been aware of God speaking to her and had tried all sorts of ways to find God, including trying to become a Reiki healer. She said she was never very good at it because she couldn't feel the stuff. She couldn't get the stuff. And eventually, she found herself going to church, to a friend's baptism, and then it all started to connect there. Now, where does that leave us? Signs and symbols. If we're going to help people who are experiencing those powerful but quiet moves of the spirit, presumably we need to cultivate or revisit awareness of the spirit for ourselves. I'm not sure that we're going to manage to do that, but what I'd like to do is to finish today by about quarter to 10 to 12. Wen, could you undo these for me? I don't have the fingernails for it. But I'd like to get you just to make some connections. Can't do it, it's not a big deal. If you've got a pen or a pencil, that's great. I have pens and pencils here. Actually, if you could give people about four of those each. And Luke, I want to do this. Could you be my pencil monitor? Get those out to some people. Karen, could you get people some pens and pencils?
Sure.
Guys, you're only going to have to write four words on four different things, and some of you may not be able to do this. It's not a spiritual exercise if you've got your own pen. We'll just get another one if necessary. Needless to say, please, if you get a pen that does not work, do not put it back in the bag. Chuck it away.
Everybody has one.
Thanks.
Right.
Right, you want one with a sharper point?
Not that I'm fussy or anything, but
cheers. Okay.
So it's just 4 words
around. Okay, are you ready to go? Rachel, are you causing a disturbance around you? Are you sitting still? Are you ready to go, everybody? This just reminds me of why I left teaching after 3 years. Yes, you haven't got a pencil. I tried to work out all sorts of ways. I wondered about putting the papers on the chair and all those kind of things. So, you got the spare pads? Anything
no,
left?
No, we set them around.
This is why other people, when they're speaking, don't do activities. The time just goes so fast. Look, here, the reason for doing this is the spirit is unpredictable, mysterious, unknowable, dynamic, is invisible. Okay? So, the only way we're aware of the spirit is by things which associate themselves with the spirit. Okay? And so I'm going to ask you on the four separate sheets of paper to write four things. On the first, okay. Now, even Wendy can do this, and she is one of the most literally minded people that I know.
It's right, he tries everything out on me before he gets
here. That's why my car. Well, as individuals, try and think what colour you associate with the spirit.
What colour?
Right. You got that? You're not going to find great benefit in meditating on it. If you can't do it, that's fine, no problem. On the second sheet, what sound you connect with the Holy Spirit? Thirdly, for me, that is a whole order of magnitude more difficult than the previous two. I don't know whether other people find that. Down to the one that maybe, I don't know, with this one's more difficult or not. What is it like? What does the touch of the Spirit feel like? Okay, have you done that, guys? Now, this may look like, now start to look like a research project that I'm doing. It isn't, because I'd have to get you to sign consent forms before we started, and that is just too much of a bother by half. But what I'd like you to do is this, and this is something that struck me this morning that might be interesting for all of us. If what you're calling to mind is a memory of the Spirit, okay, know what I mean by memory of the Spirit, something that happened to you, then would you put an asterisk on those ones? And after the meeting, it would be great if you could actually stick them up on the wall there under those categories so that we can have a look at them. Okay? Add a star, an asterisk, to any post where you're connecting it to a particular memory. We'll do that afterwards, I think, with the sticking up, but it would be interesting to have a look at it now. But the process of putting it up will be helpful. Now, to finish today, I want us to do a little bit of Bible. Okay? I'm going to tell you the context, I'm going to read the passage, and then I'm going to invite you to place yourself within it and see where, how you would have felt. A group of people came to Philip. This is quite close to the last week of Jesus' life. Okay. A crowd of people came to Philip. They were Greeks, foreigners, and said, "Sirs," in the Authorized Version, you know what it says. Go on. "Sirs, we would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus." And even that is just such a resonant phrase. Once you've read it once, you never forget it. "Sirs, we would see Jesus." Do you know, I think people are asking that all the time. I can see so much stuff, but "sirs, we would see Jesus." And they came and spoke to Jesus, and for some reason, this triggered a set of reactions and pain within him. He knew he was on his way up to Jerusalem. He knew bad things were going to happen. How much detail he had, I don't know. I can't imagine that he knew that he was going to be whipped and nailed and all that sort of stuff. It would have been totally, totally insupportable for somebody who was not just a human body, but in was as human as we are, without sin. But anyway, as he stood there, he said, and presumably he said it out loud, "Father, glorify your name." Okay. Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there heard it and said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "The voice was for your benefit, not mine." Now, instead of getting irritated with the story, which I think is a profoundly sensible thing to do, okay, because there's so much information missing. It doesn't tell us how many people heard the voice or whether Jesus was the only one, but you get the impression that certainly there was a larger set that was the crowd. Within there, there was a smaller set who cued it into being an angel, and a very small number of people, perhaps just Jesus. Perhaps just Jesus and John, perhaps just Jesus and John and the disciples, perhaps Jesus and John and the Greeks who were so motivated to see him heard the voice. Don't know. But just for a moment, put yourself with that crowd. Okay? Not terribly difficult, because if you're anything like me, when you read the Gospels, you're always having a go at the disciples anyway. I'm sure as you read the text, you find yourself thinking, how could they have been so stupid? How could they have missed it? How could they not have noticed what was going on? How could they have been such practical atheists while walking along with Jesus? Yeah? And put yourself there. And say to yourself, where would I have been? Am I motivated to be able to sort out the thunder from the angel and the angel from the voice? When I am involved in worship, am I more preoccupied with the rumble than I am with the Word of God? Where would I like to be? Because that's our finishing point this morning. Where would I like to be? Would you like to be, because I would, one of those people who find themselves able to sort out the voice of God from the thunder. To be able to discriminate between what I think might be a vague spiritual influence, i.e. an angel. Fancy getting an angel mixed up with God. This was the Father speaking, okay? For Jesus, it was his closest connection that was talking to him. For the rest of the group, apologies, Karen, it was some sort of postman, yeah? Not with a baseball cap and a pair of sunglasses, but perhaps had angels appeared today, they would appear with a bag over their shoulder. Okay, flicking red elastic bands all over the floor as they went. Yeah. Where else do you get your elastic bands from, I ask? You see, the servant image is the one of the angel, isn't it? And with this I must finish. It'd be possible just to riff off this and get you to do so for a long, long time. But I think there's something here, because I prayed at the start about if ever I was conscious of the fact that nothing good can happen unless the Spirit does it. I think it's true that we're not expected to be able to cope in our lives. We're not expected to be able to cope with our kids. We're not expected to be able to cope with work without the Spirit, because that is why the Spirit was sent, to be another advocate, counsellor, enabler, accompanier in all that we do. And we need to pray, because I've overrun by 2 minutes, 2-3 minutes, and trying to get that shaped up. Let's pray. Father, before I pray for these guys, I just want to make an affirmation of where I am in this. Lord, I'm getting the sense that each time I want to take a leap forward, but we take a small step. And Lord, if that's what you're permitting, then we're ready for that. And Father, I pray that you will cause your word to dwell in us, that we will be able to sit where that group was, who heard thunder, thought they heard an angel, or actually heard the Father's voice. Lord, we take it that the voice and the stone and all those signs, tongues, and even healings and answers to prayer are as much signs and symbols as they are anything else. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to become people who know what it is to be repeatedly filled with the Spirit. Amen. Okay. Would you, before you leave, please allocate your stickers to the categories there, and put them fairly tight, and then we'll try and take some photographs of them. And if they don't need your name on, we'll see whether we talk about those in February.